moments ago. We're going to talk about that passage for a few moments as we begin our lesson today. And I'd like to read it to us once again, and I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I grew up singing this song. It was a camp song that some of us would sing. And as that kind of implanted it within my mind, the very wording that we notice in this reading, I actually sang that very wording. I didn't realize that the Revised Standard, that is an older translation, and the English Standard, in many cases, have very, very similar wording. And in this passage, it is exactly the same. I sang this to my children often when they were young to put them to sleep. And even when I had my first grandchild and there were opportunities to try to help get her as a baby to sleep, I would sing that. I've led this song here for you all before in the past. It's a very simple song, and I'd like for us to sing it together now. I think you'll get the melody very easily. And what happens is it will repeat all of the wording here twice. And then after the second repetition, the phrase, therefore I will hope in him, is repeated once again and kind of held out a little bit. So sing with me if you would. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. Thank you. I think that's just such a beautiful rendition of a melody ascribed to this passage. And I think it has such meaningful words. And I'd like for us, as we start our lesson this morning, to think a little bit about this. And one thing that is particularly striking is if we understand the context of when these words were written. The book of Lamentations, as the name bears out, is a book that is written by the prophet Jeremiah as he is lamenting over the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon. And as we think about that, particularly in light of how encouraging these words are in chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. How could that event, the destruction of Jerusalem through Babylon, lead Jeremiah to praise God's steadfast love? How could that lead him to say that it is something that is new every morning? Perhaps if we look at how a few other translations render this, it might kind of help us a little bit. While the last part of this text is virtually the same in most of the translations, the different translations have chosen to address the first part of this just a little bit different. The New King James, for example, that may be what Jarrett read for us a few moments ago, puts it, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Here the idea almost seems to be that Jeremiah recognizes the fact that we, his faithful remnant, have been preserved in the midst of all of this difficulty is a demonstration of His great mercy. The New American Standard puts it just a little bit different. The New American Standard says, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail." And the rest is very similar to the other translations. The idea there seems to be a recognition that in spite of all that they had gone through, Jeremiah and other faithful servants of the Lord recognize God had not abandoned them. His loving kindness, as the New American Standard puts it, never ceases. I think that may help us to see that Jeremiah recognizes, even in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of loss, in the midst of disappointment, that God is always with His people. And I would just suggest this morning that is a very important lesson for us to learn. We talked in our adult class this morning as we looked in that beautiful passage at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's recognition of that. He would say earlier in the chapter that even though he could feel hard-pressed or persecuted, he was not destroyed, he was not in despair. He had a recognition that God had put something within him in the gospel of Jesus Christ that he compared to a treasure in earthen vessels. And he would say near the end of that chapter that even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. I want to call to your attention something that is interesting, because as if you ever studied any languages, you will be aware of the fact that while many words are just almost exactly the same in meaning from language to language, they're just perhaps said different. There are some concepts that are a little bit harder to bring from one language into another. And I think that is the case perhaps with the word that, as you saw in these different translations, was either rendered steadfast love or loving kindness or even mercies in these different translations. It's the Hebrew word chesed, and it means kindness, loving kindness, mercy, and similar words as it'll be rendered in the King James. As we noted, the Revised Standard usually puts it steadfast love, and we've seen that the English Standard follows through with that wording, occasionally using the idea of loyalty. The New American Standard will render it loving kindness or kindness or love, and the New International will put it unfailing love. And I think here, as we think about the wording from Lamentations 3, what an encouragement that is to us to recognize that this quality of God that we have a hard time putting our finger on exactly how to describe it. It is kindness. It is unfailing love. It is steadfast love. This quality is something that's not going to let us down. It's something that's not going to go away. In life, we face situations in which people will disappoint us. But we may be assured as children of God, when others disappoint us, the loving kindness of God remains. Look with me over in the book of Psalms. We're going to read together several psalms this morning. I think the psalmists in many of the psalms will bear out the very sentiment that Jeremiah expressed in this passage we started with, that God's chesed, God's loving kindness, it endures. Doesn't matter what we go through. It is new every morning. Notice in Psalm 17, beginning in verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in the secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him. Cast him down Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand, O men, O Lord, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with their hidden treasure. They are satisfied with the children and leave the rest of their possession of their babes. As for me, I have seen your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Notice the psalmist there recognizes sometimes it feels like there's just enemies all around. Sometimes it feels like people will disappoint. But the psalmist recognizes that's not the case with God. When we fall into sin, we can trust and be assured that our loving God in His loving kindness is waiting for our restoration. Over in Psalm 145, the psalmist, I think, brings out this idea. Psalm 145, if you'd read with me together, Psalm 145, let's read verses 14 through 18. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Notice that is not expressing the idea that, well, I can just keep sinning and God's loving kindness just covers my sin without any repentance on my part. That's not the idea. He's near to those who call upon Him. He awaits to offer His loving kindness. He will pick up those who fall. So we must recognize when we feel like we've disappointed ourselves, we've disappointed others, when we feel like we've fallen into sin, we just have to turn around. We just have to reach out and turn to God. His loving kindness endures when it seems sometimes just like things are falling apart everywhere. You ever have those days when it just feels like nothing is right? We turn on the news, it seems like there's no good news. It seems like everything is not what it ought to be. You know, I suspect that Jeremiah, as he could witness the destruction of Jerusalem and saw those that he had told the word of God and they ignored it, I'm sure that he had a little bit of a feeling as if everything was falling apart. But what a wonderful lesson that he teaches us, that God's loving kindness didn't fail. Look with me over in Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And the psalmist, I think, expresses to us this very attitude that, you know, when it looks like and it feels like everything is just not what it ought to be, we need to look at God and we need to remind ourselves that His loving kindness doesn't go away. His loving kindness endures. Read with me Psalm 138, beginning in verse 6. Though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly. But the proud He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. Jeremiah recognizes, the psalmists recognize, that this loving kindness, this mercy, this steadfast love of God continues. And I particularly want to call to our mind part of the wording in the text that we began with. You remember, steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. What a beautiful idea that is. Have you thought much about mourning in your life? And have you ever thought about what an odd thing it is in some ways that God created this world in such a way that every 24 hours we kind of have this cycle where It's almost as if the world just stops for a little bit and then it starts over. If you look with me in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, this is not just some accident of chance. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, when we are told about the beginning of God's creation, morning is something that is mentioned right at the onset of creation. Let's notice right after God creates light, Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 says, "Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." What an interesting aspect of God's creation. He could have done it any way that he wanted. He could have done it where there was no rotation of the earth that would lead to this cycle of morning and evening and one day stopping almost and then another day starting. But he created it that way. And in the text that we began with in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah there, I think, is playing off of that realization that in those times in which we may sometimes feel as if it's all falling apart, there's a new morning that comes. And there's something else that will come after that darkness of the night. And I would just ask the question, aren't we glad that life has mornings? And I mean that in many different respects. You know, as we think about it and we go through our daily life, our bodies and our minds get tired. You know, I don't know if you feel this way. I think most of us do in the activities of our day, whether it's work or school, whether it's appointments that we have or that kind of thing. You come to the end of a day and you're not thinking the way that you did when you first woke up, or you're not thinking the way that you did when you were fresh during the day. You get tired. And maybe even our perspective becomes more difficult to maintain. When we have those times, as I said earlier, in which it just feels like everything's falling apart, have you had some of those days where nothing seems to go right? Even the small things. You burn the toast, or you have a fender bender, or people speak to you in a way that's hurtful, or you can't seem to solve some problem, and you come to the end of a day and it just feels overwhelming. But it's amazing how sometimes the dawning of a new day brings a new beginning. Now, it may not take away all of the problems. It may not take away the things that felt so overwhelming the day before. But the very fact that there is a new morning can lead us to have a different perspective. Morning is that way. Morning can bring a fresh perspective on life. Go to the Psalms with me once again. Go to Psalm 30 with me. And let's look in Psalm 30, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 30, verses 3 through 5. The psalmist writes, "O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night." Notice, "but joy comes in the morning." And how true that is in so many aspects of our life. You know, if you're in a position in your life where maybe right now you feel as if you're just overwhelmed, you feel there is no answer, I would urge you to recognize that in the guidance of our Lord through His Word, in following Him as a faithful child of God, there are answers to those things that seem overwhelming. But while it may seem pretty bad right now, and it may seem rather overwhelming, there's a morning that will come in your life. Whether it is just a matter of having a day of rest and you then can look at things different tomorrow, or maybe it's not going to be something that a night of rest can bring a new perspective, even if it is the kind of thing that you must endure throughout this life. We noticed, once again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when Paul would talk about all the suffering and the hardship and the affliction that he faced, he used two words that really are amazing. He would describe it as light, and he would describe it as something that was for a moment. There's a morning that will come to the child of God in which we can see things from a different perspective. Morning brings new energy and vigor as well. You know, when you have that feeling that, you know, you just don't have any more strength to face any more difficulties, I asked at the beginning, or I mentioned at the beginning, it's odd that God created it where we need this cycle. It's odd that God created our fleshly bodies in such a way that we need to just kind of turn off for a little while. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the language we use now with technology and computers. You know, if your computer's dragging and it's not working the way that it ought to, you know what they say? Sometimes you need to just reboot it. Just turn it off, turn it back on. Now, I don't know why that changes anything. But it sure seems to be the way it is sometimes in our life, doesn't it? I am worn out. I am frustrated. But I get a night of rest. And I get some sleep. And I have a little more energy to be able to face those same trials that the day before I felt as if I had no energy to face. Go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. And let's notice what the psalmists tell us in this text, Psalm 143. Let's read together verses 7 and 8. The Holy Spirit reveals, "Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." You know, sometimes the answer when we just feel so overwhelmed and we feel as if we can't even think clearly is just to give it a little time, just to rest and to wait for that new morning. When our bodies are rested, our mind is given it a break, we've rebooted, so to speak, and we can face it all anew. And it's amazing because, as I said, often the problems don't go away, but our perspective changes on those problems. And sometimes we have renewed vigor and energy to be able to address those problems. And there are times, perhaps, in which you got to just keep going, even if you're tired and worn out. But if you have that liberty and that opportunity to be able to rest and to understand and to look for God's loving kindness in the morning, maybe that's the thing to do. How often is it the case that, you know, those fights that we have or those words that we say that we end up regretting, it's not because we've had a time to renew ourselves. It's because we feel overwhelmed. Maybe we should wait till the morning. Maybe we should wait till that time in which we can feel that sense of renewal. We need to seek new mornings at various times in our lives when we feel discouraged. Don't think that because it feels so discouraging and overwhelming right now that it's always going to feel that way. A night of rest might change it. A little time off might change it. Reading in God's Word might change it. We need to look for new mornings when we feel tired and exhausted. You know, under the New Covenant, we don't have that day of rest that was an element of Mosaic law. We learn from God's example in His creation that He worked and then rested on the seventh day. And then centuries later, when Mosaic law would be put in place, that was an ordinance. That was something that they were to do. And there are many reasons, perhaps, that that was the case. When it's first implemented in connection with the giving of manna, the Lord tells us that it was something in which He was going to test and to see if they'd obey Him. Because you see, He told them, gather manna on the other days, don't gather it on the Sabbath, the seventh day, and that became a test. But it also was something in which it allowed them to stop and to focus on their God. While it's not something that now is an element of our worship to God under Christ, as Paul would say, we're to let no one judge us concerning Sabbaths. That's taken away. But it's nonetheless important for us to rest. It's nonetheless important for us to set aside the things of this life and to think about the things of God. And so we need to look for those new mornings in our life when we feel tired, when we feel confused. Maybe in your life you're facing situations in which it just doesn't seem to make sense. Why would God allow me to go through this? Once again, in our adult class, we talked about the lesson that is brought out in that passage and in other passages as well, where, you know, the things that we go through, it's not God picking on us. It's not God not loving us. The Christian can have a little bit of a sense that if I face some difficulty, I'm sharing a little bit in what Christ went through for me. I'm being like my master, like the child that looks up to a parent or looks up to someone that they admire, and they want to engage in what they engage in. They want to go through what they go through. Maybe that's the attitude that we need to have. But when we feel confused and we feel as if it just doesn't make sense, we need to seek those new mornings in our life in order to look at things different. Well, I want us to, as we think about this, and of course, I'm using mourning broader than just the 24-hour day cycle. I'm using it in that sense that there is new hope that comes. And I don't know in Jeremiah's wording in Lamentations if he's exclusively just meaning it in that sense that, you know, as you sleep and then the next morning, there are new blessings. Certainly, there are blessings. There's loving kindness that God gives to His people every day, every new day. James would tell us that every good gift comes from above. We need to recognize that. In the case of Jeremiah, he was mourning what would happen to Jerusalem and the exile that would come from that. In some respects, it would be 70 years before there'd be a new morning of their return back to the promised land and back to a time in which they could worship God on their own land. But there was a mourning nonetheless. And I want to, in the last moments of our lesson, just bring out a few ways in which there can be new mornings in your life, or there can be new mornings in my life if I will follow what Scripture says. For example, the Bible would teach us that trust in God brings a new morning. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And let's look together at verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. A lot of times the reason that we become discouraged and we become overwhelmed is we sometimes feel as if it's all up to us. We feel as if everything about whether life succeeds or fails rests on our shoulders or rests on the choices of those around us. And so we become disappointed and discouraged when others don't do what they ought to. But sometimes I think when we do that, we're not really thinking about and realizing and recognizing who it is that made us, who it is that ultimately holds control. And I don't mean by that that God makes everything happen, but He's the one that's going to vindicate everything in the end, ultimately. Jeremiah 17, read with me beginning in verse 5 and go down to verse 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now, we might look at that and we might go, okay, this is talking about those Jews, those Israelites that would trust maybe in Egypt or would trust in some kind of treaty that they would make. And there's an element of that, certainly. But I want you to think about it as well. When I base my confidence in life upon me and what I do and how well I succeed, and what I do to prosper, am I not trusting solely in man? Absolutely. Notice verse 6. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7, notice. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Now, there's an agricultural illustration that's drawn here, but I want you to think about what that means to us and how that has application to us. If I'm just trusting in me and how much I can do, I'm going to disappoint myself. I need to work hard for my master. I need to do the best that I can. But when I've done that, I need to put my trust in the Lord. And notice this beautiful illustration here. Think about, we live in a pretty dry place. And, you know, you've got places in which it's hard for much vegetation to grow. But the tree that would be near the river that sends out its roots to the point where it doesn't matter whether there's a lot of rainfall or not, it can draw that moisture from all of the sources that its roots can extend to. It's not going to be one that, and notice the way it personifies it, it will not fear. I don't think it's literally saying here trees fear, but it's illustrating the idea that, you know, we fear. And if we were a tree and we somehow thought, okay, where am I going to get water? It hasn't rained in a long time. But trust in the Lord is like those roots that extend out, so we don't need to fear when the heat comes. We can be assured that no matter what difficulties we face, our leaves will still be green in that spiritual sense. We don't have to be anxious in the year of drought, nor will we cease yielding fruit. What a beautiful idea that is. Trust in the Lord brings a new morning, and it can in my life, it can in your life. And it's not just talking about when we initially put our faith in Jesus Christ. It is that daily trust, not in ourselves, but in our Master. Repentance from sin is something that can bring a new morning as well. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And in the early history of the church, I want us to read together this beautiful statement that is made. We are probably all very familiar with Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, there where repentance is referenced in connection with obedience to the gospel. Those who had crucified the Messiah, now when they learn that he's risen from the dead and he's the promised Messiah, they want to know what to do. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they're told, repent, let every one of you be baptized. Notice in the next chapter here in chapter 3, a very similar idea is expressed, but I want us to notice some additional things that are said about the benefit and the blessing of repentance. Now, repentance is not the idea of saying, oh, I'm sorry that I sinned. Repentance is not the idea of saying, oh, I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is the idea, it literally refers to a change of mind, but it always is accompanied by a change of action. So I recognize, here's what I did. Here's what I am doing. And that's not right as God teaches it. So I'm going to change my mind about that thing. And I'm going to stop doing that and I'm going to start doing right. Well, what can happen when we are willing to do that in our life? You know, sometimes the reason that we feel overwhelmed is because we're doing those things that we ought not to do. And that's a burden we ought to feel very oppressive. Because if we imagine, well, I'm doing these things, but I'll fix it one of these days. Friends, we can't fix it. Only the blood of Christ can fix it. And repentance is turning and accepting that blood of Christ. But listen to the beautiful wording here. Acts chapter 3, begin in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. We looked at the verses that follow this recently when we were talking about Christ as that prophet that was to be sent and the command to hear Him. But in our context right now, notice what this promises. Do I feel overwhelmed because I know I'm doing those things that I ought not to do? You know how to fix that? Stop doing those things. Put my trust not in myself, but in the Lord. Repent and turn away from those things. And notice the way it describes it. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You need a new morning in your life. If you are overwhelmed by the burden of sin and you have not turned to the Lord for forgiveness. But I want to offer a last passage that I think certainly brings out this idea. I've mentioned a lot about 2 Corinthians and the lesson today, and it's on my mind because we're looking at it. Next week we'll begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want us to notice something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. That offer to us a way in which there's a new morning that can come in our lives if we are willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of salvation. It describes that means by which if we are willing to put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, if we have that courage to confess Christ as the Messiah, if we are willing to repent and turn from sin and then be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, our sins are washed away. We are in Christ. We are a new creation. And we have that hope of eternal life. Is that a new morning? Absolutely. That's a new morning. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." A new creation to be born again. Having been separated from God, once again to be reconciled back into a relationship to Him. Is that a new morning, so to speak? Absolutely. It may be that there's some who are here this very day that need a new morning just exactly like that. You've been separated from God because of your sin. Well, I would suggest to you that in the same way Jeremiah recognized, steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning if we will take advantage of them. I want to end with a text that we read a few moments ago in Psalm 143 and verse 8 that I think is kind of a good text for us to leave on as we think about this idea of God's loving kindness, the idea of that new morning that awaits in our life. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. If you are in Christ and you continue faithful to Him, there's a new morning. It's not going to be that it always feels the way it does now. And it may be that you can echo the wording of this psalm, "Cause me to hear Your loving kindness in the morning. For in You do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to You." I hope that our efforts this morning and our study together this morning perhaps has caused you to hear God's loving kindness this morning. But if in your life you stand separated from God, you need to awake to a new morning, a morning of obedience to the gospel. A warning in which you put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. You repent of your sin. And if that new morning is something you need in your life, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.